नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद्भागवतम् सिक्स्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 5 नारद मुनि कर्स्ड बाय प्रजापति दक्ष टेक्स्ट 18 ऐश्वरम शास्त्रम उत्सृज्य बंध मोक्षानुदर्शनम विविक्त पदमज्ञाय कीमसत कर्म भीर भवे। ऐश्वरम शास्त्रम उत्सृज्य बंध मोक्षानुदर्शनम विविक्त पदमज्ञाय कीमसत कर्म भीर भवे। ऐश्वरम शास्त्रम उत्सृज्य बंध मोक्षानुदर्शनम विविक्त पदमज्ञाय कीमसत कर्म भीर भवे। Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Narad Muni had spoken of a swan. That swan is explained in this verse. The Vedic literatures, shastras, vividly describe how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energy. Indeed, they elaborately explain these two energies. The swan, Hamsa, is one who discriminates between matter and spirit, who accepts the essence of everything, and who explains the means of bondage and the means of liberation. The words of scriptures consist of variegated vibrations. If a foolish rascal leaves aside the study of these shastras to engage in temporary activities, what will be the result? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Krishna consciousness movement is very eager to present Vedic literature in modern languages, especially Western languages such as English, French, and German. The leaders of the Western world, the Americans and Europeans, have become the idols of modern civilization because the Western people are very sophisticated in temporary activities for the advancement of material civilization. A sane man, however, can see that all such grand activities, although perhaps very important for temporary life, have nothing to do with eternal life. The entire world is imitating the materialistic civilization of the West, and therefore the Krishna consciousness movement is very much interested in giving the Western people knowledge by translating the original Sanskrit Vedic literatures in Western languages. The word Vivikta Padam refers to the path of logical discourses concerning the aim of life. If one does not discuss that which is important in life, one is put into darkness and must struggle for existence. What then is the benefit of his advancement of knowledge? The people of the West are seeing their students becoming hippies, despite gorgeous arrangements for university education. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, is trying to convert misguided, drug-addicted students to the service of Krishna and engage them in the best welfare activities for human society. Aishwaram Shastram Utsrijya Bandha Mokshanu Darshanam Vivikta Padamagyaya Kimasat Karma Bhir Bhavit. Narad Muni had spoken of a swan. That swan is explained in this verse. The Vedic literatures, Shastras, vividly describe how to understand the Supreme Lord, the source of all material and spiritual energy. Indeed, they elaborately explain these two energies. The swan, Hamsa, is one who discriminates between matter and spirit, who accepts the essence of everything, and who explains the means of bondage and the means of liberation. The words of scriptures consist of variegated vibrations. If a foolish rascal leave aside the study of these shastras to engage in temporary activities, what will be the result? So, at the beginning of creation, one very important consideration was how to fill up the universe. Brahma was assigned with that responsibility. Brahma, when he understood what was the purpose of his coming to the universe, what was the purpose of being there, he recognized that his business was to do the secondary creation. The primary creation, the initial creation, a sarga, was done by Vishnu himself. Through his breathing, he had done that, creating the shell of the universe in the form of the bubbles in the causal oceans. And then, as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he expanded himself and entered into the universe as the super soul of the universe, filled up half the universe with the water generated from his own body. Since it was generated from his own body, that water was considered to be something like sweat, a sveda, svedavari. With his sweat he filled up half of the universe. Then he laid down on the universe in the bed of Anantashesh. And then from his navel, a lotus came out. And Brahma, the first created being, was situated on that navel, on that lotus. And then Brahma, at first, couldn't figure out who he was, where he came from, and what he was supposed to do. Brahma's situation was like one fine morning he woke up and he found himself in a strange place. And he did not have any remembrance of his past. He was a fully grown individual, fully conscious, but when he opened his eyes, he did not have any recollection of his past. And as a result of that, Brahma began to wonder, who I am? Who am I? And then he considered, probably if I could figure out where I came from, then I would be able to understand who I am. And then Brahma also considered, what am I supposed to do here? And Brahma made various endeavors for a long, long time, very arduous endeavors, but all his endeavors went in vain. He realized that he cannot possibly figure out who he was, where he came from, and what he was supposed to do. And then by the mercy of the Lord, Brahma received Gayatri Mantra. And then meditating upon the Gayatri, Brahma got this understanding, who he was, where he came from, and what he was supposed to do. So when Brahma understood that, Brahma realized that he was sent by the Lord to accomplish certain mission. And the mission is to create, or it's not exactly create, but Brahma's business was more like that of an interior decorator. The house was built already, and now the interior decorator has to bring the chandelier, bring the furniture, do the doors, windows. Plus, he had to fill up the universe with living entities. That was the main mission. The universe was created by the Lord to give the misguided souls, those who did not want to accept his authority, to come there and try to fulfill their desires. All the living entities originally, we all originally came from the spiritual sky. But we lost our right to stay in the spiritual sky because we didn't want to accept the authority of Krishna. Instead, we wanted to enjoy like Krishna ourselves. Now that desire cannot be fulfilled in the spiritual sky. Spiritual sky is the place of absolute reality. There is no room for anything that is not real. There is no room for falsity. We cannot enjoy like Krishna. We are not the enjoyers. But still we desire to enjoy without Krishna. Therefore Krishna made this arrangement. Okay, let the material, he expanded himself as Mahavishnu. And he created the universes, created the material nature full of universes, so that the living entities, those who want to enjoy without Krishna, can get a chance to figure out what it feels like to try to enjoy without Krishna. How does it feel like to try to enjoy without Krishna? It's miserable, suffering. We want to enjoy, but what do we get? We get suffering. And this suffering is invited by ourselves and inflicted upon us, ourselves by ourselves. So anyway, Krishna, who is very compassionate, Krishna who actually fulfills the desires of everyone, he made this arrangement. Okay, if you want to enjoy, go ahead, enjoy. And see for yourself what it feels like. So there is the universe has been created. Now there is the need for the living entities to come, to be injected in this or brought into the universe. So Brahma was assigned with that responsibility. So Brahma realized that he has to give living entities different types of bodies so that they can come to the material universe and they can try to enjoy. So Brahma therefore first created four of his children from his mind. And those four children of Brahma are the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras. Shanak, Shanatan, Sanandan, and Sanat Kumar. So when Brahma told them that now you help me in filling up the universe with progeny, they said, I'm sorry. we don't want to get involved in that business. Because they were self-realized souls, so they didn't want to get involved in this dirty business. But Brahma got very angry. Brahma felt, they are my children and they are not listening to me. But then also Brahma considered that his anger, because since he is so powerful, that his anger could destroy these children. And he considered that I am the father and I should not destroy them. So Brahma controlled his anger. Although he controlled his anger, but still that anger came out from between his eyebrows. And thus came the 11 Rudras, the destroyers. And then again Brahma created 10 children from his mind. And out of those 10 children, one is Daksha. Nine out of these 10 children became Prajapatis or progenitors. Those who are going to create progeny, offsprings. Daksha was one of them. And the youngest of these 10 is Narad Muni. And Narad Muni also was like his other 4 elder brothers who didn't want to get involved in this materialistic activities of the universe. So Narad Muni, because from the beginning he was completely detached. He didn't want to get involved in this business. But Brahma didn't mind. Now he has 9 children to help him. So if the youngest one that didn't want to get involved, he said, fine, let him do what he wants to do. And so Daksha, he assigned the responsibility to procreate, created 10,000 children. They were known as Haryashas. And they went to the bank of the river Sindhu at a place called Narayan Sarovar. And there they started to perform austerities. And Narad Muni saw that these children are actually very good boys. They're performing austerities. They're nice individuals, very nice, very advanced souls. And Narad Muni thought that he would bestow his mercy upon them. So he went and he instructed them on the spiritual subject matter, the Vedic wisdom and the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And upon receiving the instructions from Narad Muni, they became also detached from these mundane activities. And they left, never to come back home. Daksha was frustrated. But he created another 10,000 children to help him in this business of procreation. And Narad Muni again instructed them with the informations of Krishna, gave them Krishna consciousness, gave them the understanding of the spiritual reality. And they also followed the footsteps of their elder brothers. So this chapter is describing that, and ultimately Daksha became so upset that he cursed Narad Muni that he won't be able to stay at one place. So here Narad Muni is one of the instructions that Narad Muni gave Narad Muni mentioned about a swan-like personality, Hamsa. Different animals and different birds also have a specific nature and characteristics. Like the crows are very dirty, whereas the swans are very pure among the birds. We can see the crows live in a dirty place. Their nature is very dirty. Their voice is very unpleasant, very harsh, very coarse. And they eat all kinds of garbage. Whereas the swans, they live in a very quiet and solitary place, in a lake, far away from the madding crowd. They dwell in the lotus garden, where the lotuses grow. And they eat also the lotus stems and the lotus seeds. And the swans have a wonderful quality of separating milk from water and accepting only the milk and discarding the water. If a solution of water, a mixture of water and milk is given to a swan, the swan can extract only the milk and reject the water. So Narad Muni compared that quality of the swan to a swan-like personality, a self-realized soul, who understands the difference between matter and spirit. And he simply accepts the spiritual aspect and rejects the material aspect. So those personalities are called hamsas, swan-like personalities. And then among the hamsas, when one, after separating the milk from the water, simply dwells in milk and has nothing to do with the water. One who can separate the spirit from the matter and then completely, simply dwells in the spiritual reality, completely freeing himself from all material influences, he becomes known as Paramahamsa. That is the most advanced stage. The most advanced stage for a spiritualist, a spiritual personality. In the sannyas order, there are four stages. There are four stages of sannyas. They are kutichak, bahudhak, paribrajak, and finally paramahamsa. Paramahamsa. He is now at that stage. He is completely free from the material platform and perfectly situated on the spiritual platform. Although apparently he may be on the material nature, in the material nature, but he has nothing to do with the material nature. He is perfectly situated on the spiritual platform. So he knows how to separate matter from spirit, or rather spirit from matter, and he is perfectly situated on the spiritual platform. So this is how Narad Muni actually instructed the children of Haryash, children of Daksha, Prajapati, Haryashas, with these instructions, that this is the goal of life. The goal of human life is to recognize the difference between matter and spirit and become situated on the spiritual platform. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that these informations, like, where does one get these informations from? The information about the matter and spirit, the cause of our bondage in this material nature, and the means to become free from this material bondage. These informations are available only in the Vedic scriptures. The Vedas are describing very elaborately what is the cause, why we became entangled in the material nature, and how can we become free from this material bondage. Shastra, Shastram, the Vedic literatures. And though the Paramahamsas perfectly understand, the Hamsas perfectly understand the cause of their material bondage, or cause of one's material bondage, and the means to become free from that bondage, or the means of liberation. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that that is why he is presenting his books. That's why he translated these scriptures into English. Why in English? That also is Prabhupada is explaining in the purport. Because today, the leaders of this world are America and Europe. America and the European, Western European nations. They are leading the world. But they do not know what is the ultimate prosperity for a human being. Making some arrangements for materialistic advancement or materialistic comfortable living is not the goal of life. Material prosperity is not the goal of life. It may have some benefit. It may have certain advantages, but those benefits and those advantages are only temporary. Now, this temporary arrangements or have some sort of temporary happiness cannot be the goal of human life. The goal of human life must be permanent solution to all the problems. Making a temporary solution to the problems is not, cannot be the goal of an intelligent person. An intelligent person must endeavor to solve all his problems forever. Atyantik dukkha nibritti. Once and for all, these problems must be solved. Some temporary solution is not desirable. But yet, these people are the leaders of the world. The whole world is looking up to America and Europe. Therefore, Prabhupada's plan was to go to the West and make the West understand what is the real problem and what is the permanent solution to that problem. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna pointed out, Jajjad Acharati Srishtas. Lokastad anubartate. Now, whatever a great man does, the common man follows. So today the world is looking up to America and they're just blindly following America. But at that time, in mid-60s, what was the America situation? America was in total mess at that time. especially the American youth. Vietnam War. Like, they've achieved a lot of material prosperity. After the Second World War, America reached the height of their prosperity. America was the most successful, the most prosperous nation at that time. But at the same time, in early 60s, 63, 64, they started this war with Vietnam. And the American youth were forced to join the US Army and sent to the war. Like, in one hand, they have all the comforts of this world, they have all the wealth, they have all the facilities to enjoy, they're drafted from the university. As soon as they finish their school, they're drafted to join the army. You have to join, they're forced to join the army. And then they were sent to Vietnam. So they began to wonder why we are going to give our lives far away from our homeland for no rhyme or reason, for no justifiable reason. To prevent communism from spreading, China to spread its influence, so we have to have this war with Vietnam, war in Vietnam, war against communism. So the youth of America became extremely disillusioned. In one hand, they had the height of material prosperity, but at the same time, there is this force to join the army and give their lives for no rhyme or reason. And as a result of that, they left home, they revolted against the society, they started to take drugs, and the youth were completely misled. Apparently, they were looking for a positive alternative, a counterculture, a positive alternative of this materialistic culture. And their search was through sex and drugs. They thought that they're going to find the positive alternative or apparently spiritual life or taste of spiritual existence through drugs, LSD, the psychedelic drugs, and leading a carefree life free from any social, moral bondage and restrictions. So that was the real scene in America at that time. The most prosperous country, but look, what is happening to your youth? And at that time, the whole world, especially the Western world, was imitating America. When American youth became hippies, in Europe also they started to become hippies. Why? Because America is doing it. They didn't have those problems, what America had. But because America is doing, let us also do that. So that is the human nature. Whatever a great man does, common man follows. So Prabhupada actually took that opportunity. And Prabhupada considered that if the American youth takes to Krishna consciousness, then the whole world will follow. And that's where Prabhupada went to America. And he got the youth, and he trained them, he educated them with the informations that are available in the Vedic literatures. He translated these books into English, and then he arranged for these books to be translated into other European languages. And as Prabhupada mentioned, the two most important European languages are French and German. Today, of course, all of Prabhupada's books have been translated in practically all the languages of the world. All the popular languages of the world. So this is how Srila Prabhupada was giving the proper spiritual information to the youth of the world. And just as Narad Muni took away Daksha's children from their materialistic way of life, Prabhupada also took this young boys and girls away from their materialistic way of life. And people became upset, like Daksha. Prabhupada once told, just as Narad Muni was cursed, my disciples' parents have cursed me so that I can't stay at one place also. Prabhupada was constantly traveling. He didn't have any time to sit at one place. As if Prabhupada, like Narad Muni, Prabhupada also had been cursed. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada made arrangements for the world to become delivered from their undesirable material bondage. And as it has Prabhupada himself is saying, the Krishna consciousness movement, however, is trying to convert misguided, drug-addicted students to the service of Krishna and engage them in the best welfare activities for human society. What can be a better service than giving people Krishna consciousness? Often people ask us questions. Actually, just day before yesterday, we had a press conference in Juhu Temple on Kazakhstan issue. And I was talking to one of the reporters after the conference. And she was asking me about our movement. And one of the points she was kind of emphasizing is that why ISKCON doesn't do any social welfare activities? Or it's not that we don't do, that's what I pointed out. It's not that we don't do social welfare activities, but we don't broadcast those activities because that is not our ultimate objective. Our ultimate objective is to give people the spiritual understanding so that they can become free from all the problems of this material existence. And still she couldn't quite understand that point. And then I made one point that when you go to a doctor, do you expect the doctor to stitch your, mend your shirt? For the shirt business, you go to a tailor. If your shirt is torn, then you go to a tailor to mend the damages in the shirt or cloth. You go to a doctor for your physical treatment, body's treatment. Similarly, you go to a spiritualist for the treatment of the soul. And his business is not the physical welfare, body's welfare. His business is the welfare of the soul. And yeah, then she could understand that. Like, she was a pious lady, sincere, and that is actually our business. Our business is to heal the souls, the spirit souls. And when the soul is cured, then the body's condition, whether it is suffering or enjoying, doesn't really matter. Like if the body is healthy, and if our shirt is a little torn, do we care about that?
No.
Our physical welfare is not relative to the condition of our clothes. Similarly, our spiritual well-being is not dependent upon the condition of our body. And the business that ISKCON has is to create that spiritual welfare for the entire human society. And this is how this movement is going to bring about the greatest welfare activity, or rendering the greatest welfare activity to this world. When the disease of the soul is cured, then all the problems will be solved. And time and time again, Srila Prabhupada pointed out that is his mission. Whatever Srila Prabhupada had done is simply to accomplish that mission. And he gave his books. His books means the Vedic literature is translated into English with his Bhaktivedanta purport. And that's what makes all the difference. There are so many Bhagavad Gitas available in the market. But all these Bhagavad Gitas put together hardly make one devotee of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada's one Bhagavad Gita as it is, all over the world, making hundreds and thousands of devotees. That is the potency of Srila Prabhupada's presentation. And this is how Srila Prabhupada is actually extending and is executing the greatest welfare activity for this world. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes.
Maharaj, you have nicely pointed out the need of the way Prabhupada is asking us to make people aware about God consciousness. But if you see nowadays in Bombay, there is a very, very tremendous propaganda of this one serial which is on Ravan. And they are trying to propagate him and advertise him. And the question which comes to my mind and comes to many devotees' mind is that as part of preaching, is one thing is to do positive preaching, but one thing is also to really stop the negative preaching. So how important is the second part? And if it is important, how should we really go? Because if this serial, the way it has been propagated, the people we are meeting, they will start identifying Ravan as a very nice person. And the whole purpose of Ramayana will be lost. So how what we should do as an organization, and what we should do as an individual, as representatives of Prabhupada, for this type of thing that is happening in our city.
Thank you. It's a very good point. You see, this is the age of Kali, the most degraded of all ages. And in this age, Kali's business is actually to establish adharma. Therefore, another name of Kali is Adharma Bandhu, the friend of Adharma. He actually establishes Adharma in the throne of this age, to rule over, to dominate over this age. So we have to accept that this is going to happen. Kali is in power, this is his age. And he will establish adharma. Now, we shouldn't be surprised that they started a serial on Ravana. I mean, rather, we should be surprised that they didn't do it before Ramayana was telecasted. And it will be even worse. With the passing of time, things will deteriorate even more. Now, Kali comes to establish adharma, but Krishna's business is yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Abhuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamaha. So Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to destroy this prosperity of adharma and establish dharma. So we have the proper means to defeat Kali. Although ultimately he will rule over this age, but at least one thing we know, that in the middle of the age, this Kali Yuga, for 10,000 years, Satya Yuga will be established, meaning dharma will be perfectly reinstated. So Kali will try, these are the endeavors of Kali, to try to establish adharma as the ruler of this age. But if we systematically and sincerely carry on the mission of Srila Prabhupada, mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kali will be defeated. And ultimately what will happen, you see, at least the intelligent class of people will see that following the course of adharma, you don't actually get what you are wanting. Eventually, everyone wants happiness. Everyone wants joy. Now, through adharma, some external glamour can be established, which may allure a good number of people. But at least the intelligent class of people will eventually recognize that this is not going to give me what I really need, what I really want. And what to speak of when we go to them and make them understand that, you know, materialistic endeavors to enjoy will culminate into suffering. So why pursue that course? Following Ravan, what will you get? See the ultimate result. Okay, you may glorify Ravan, but what is the ultimate reality? Ravan was skilled. In spite of all his prosperity, in spite of all his prowess, ultimately he had to die in the hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So now, do you want to follow Ravan or do you want to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So the point actually is that we have, while they are preaching the glories of Ravan, we have to preach the glory of Krishna, Ramchandra, with greater intensity. And then only we will win. But if they start to glorify Ravan, and if we just sit in our remote corners, then the purpose will not be achieved. The purpose will not be accomplished. Our goal will not be achieved. So we have to, I mean, this should be the impetus to preach with greater intensity and vigor. Okay, they are making the thing about Ravan. Now let us go and tell everybody the advantage of following Ramchandra and disadvantage of following Ravan. It's not difficult, at least in India, to establish that fact is not going to be difficult. So the answer is, we have to preach. While they are preaching, we have to preach with greater velocity, greater intensity and time and greater dimension. Hare Krishna. Yes, Srinathji Prabhu. The mic.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for this wonderful class. We always appreciate your class.
Thank you.
While you were answering Sridhama's question, I remembered that in the Garga Samhita, initially, I was surprised he was praising Kans. Garga Muni is talking of the glories of Kans. And I was shocked that here is Prabhupada saying about the glories of Garga Muni, and Garga Muni is glorifying he said Kans was having the strength of 10,000 elephants. He was like Ravan, very charismatic. He had married two of the most desirable ladies, sisters, daughters of the king.
Yes.
And so on and so forth. But later on, Garga Muni starts showing the negative side, as you just said. He starts preaching through his Garga Samhita of the negative side, because I find people generally like to listen or read glories of a bad man, because they have some of that quality within themselves. So they feel very much at home when they hear the glories of somebody like this.
Yeah.
Apna wala aadmi hai.
Right.
Like us. But then when Garga Muni starts glorifying Krishna's qualities, the qualities of Kans look like a speck of firefly. He uses the word firefly compared to the sun.
Yeah.
So we should follow in the footsteps, as you said, of Garga Muni.
Yeah.
This is just a comment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That also reminds me that that yes, these individuals are actually and were actually endowed with great qualities. I mean, they were great personalities, no doubt. You know, like otherwise, why thousands of people would follow them, give their lives for them? So obviously, they had wonderful qualities. Like Duryodhan also, you know, had so many wonderful qualities. But the bottom line is, you may have all these qualities, but if you don't surrender to Krishna, it's all useless. Waste of time. Thank you, Shri Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Bol. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki. Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare.